A morning. Today's daf and Yuma, daf Mem. Started the new parak yesterday. We are in the fourth parak of Yuma, and the discussion behind the fourth parak is a grala. We're taking a lottery, and the lottery that we're taking is to determine which of the seirim are going to go la Hashem and which one's going to go la Azazel. Part of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim is that there are two animals that are going to serve as a chatas, as the carbon chatas. One is a par, and the other one is a seir. The par, there's no selection by the par. The par just simply is muktash as a par chatas, and is going to be offered, and the blood is going to be sprinkled. In terms of this seir, however, so there is going to be also a seal of chatas, but the seal of chatas is going to be established through a hagrola, through a goral, through a lottery. Talked a little bit yesterday about significance of hagrola connected to Purim. A little bit, just touched on it yesterday. But anyway, that's the that occurs. At what point exactly during the Avodas Yom HaKippurim does it occur? So that we know. In other words, just follow the Mishnayos. The previous parak, in the third parak, we talked about the vidui that the Kohen Gadol did over his parchatas. Parchatas, he did vidui. He's going to do vidui twice. So he only did vidui one time. Put his hands on the head of the parchatas, and he was mizvada over the sins that he did and his wife. And then, next step is that he moves east of the mizbeach, and he's going to do the hagrola. He's going to do the selection of the seirim. What's going to happen is he's going to have two seirim in front of him. One's going to be to his right, and the other one's going to be to his left. He's going to put he's going to have a box. Yesterday we described a little bit in detail regarding the box. He's going to have two plaques in the box. One of the plaques is going to read La Hashem, the other one's going to read La Azazel. He's going to put his hand into the box. He's going to select whichever one comes out in his right hand will be the assignment of the goat to his right. And whichever one comes out in his left hand will be the assignment to the goat on his left. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. Yesterday we noted that there was a Braisa who disagrees with our Mishnah, because to do an avoda with your left hand, that's a little bit strange. So they'll have the Sgan putting in his right hand so that you have two right hands going into the box. Okay, but that's the Braisa. Our Mishnah doesn't follow that viewpoint. Our Mishnah follows the viewpoint that the Kohen Gadol is going to put both of his hands in. Whichever comes out in his right is going to be assigned to the right, and whatever comes out in the left is going to be assigned to the left. We discussed yesterday that the Siman Tov, it's a good sign when the La Hashem, Sir La Hashem, comes out in his right hand. Obviously, it's a 50-50. It is chance that's going to dictate. I mean, the way we understand chance, but it's chance that's going to dictate. But nevertheless, it's a Siman Tov if the La Hashem comes out in the right. Okay, and then what he's going to do is that after he has the goralos, the goral, the actual plaque itself in his hands, so then he's going to do hanach, he's going to lay the plaque on top of the goat, so the one that's La Hashem is going to lay down on the goat to his right, the one La Azazel, assuming that's the one he drew, the La Azazel is going to go to the goat, to the one of the goat on the left, and now the selection of the goats have been done, the La Hashem obviously will be shechted, the blood is going to be sent into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the La Azazel, as we'll discuss later in the Masechta, so that'll be sent out, and that'll be thrown over the cliff. Okay. The Gemara went off on a little bit of a tangent, not really off the path, but just a little bit of a tangent, describing the significance of the Second Temple, notably the first 40 years of Bayis Sheni. First 40 years of Bayis Sheni, there was one Kohen Gadol who operated and presided over the Beis HaMikdash, and that's Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik, as we know from the Mishnah Perkei Avos, Mishayari Knesset HaGedola, he was the remnant of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, and he presided as a Kohen Gadol over the Beis HaMikdash for the first 40 years. So the Gemara noted that those were good years. Good years vis-a-vis the Beis HaMikdash, good year vis-a-vis Hashkacha, meaning the Kadosh Baruch Hu looked over the Beis HaMikdash for those first 40 years. After the 40 years, the next, let's say, what did we say yesterday, 340. The next 340 years, it was not the best years of the Beis HaMikdash. I think, in fact, we'll see more about that over the course of the Gemara coming up. And then the last 40 years of the Second Temple, so the Gemara noted that it was impending. The destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was impending, and so the Gemara is going to stay on that tangent. So we're on the top now of Lamed Tes Amud Beis, and we're going to continue in this discussion of the first 40 years. Tanu Rabbanan, I'm going to start from the very top of the Amud, where we did this yesterday, I know, but it's a good place. It's a good starting point. And we're on Lamed Tes Amud Beis. We're towards the top of the Amud. Tanu Rabbanan, also Shana Shemeis Bo Shimon HaTzadik Amar Lehem B'Shanazu Umeis. So 40 years presiding, the 40th year. So Shimon HaTzadik after Yom Kippur tells everybody, this is it. This is my last year. So Amar lo minayin ata yodeh. So they said, how do you know that? Amar lehem b'chol yom kippurim hayim ezdamin lizaken echel levush levanim v'atuf levanim. Because every year what happens is that I get accompanied into the Kodesh HaKadoshim by somebody dressed in white. You remember the last thing we talked about yesterday? Who is that? Who's accompanying him into the Beis HaMikdash? He's dressed in white. So nechnasim v'yafseim me. He goes in with me, goes out with me. So you remember quoted the Tosfos Yerushalmi yesterday, who says it's for sure not a person. That goes without saying. Tosfos Yerushalmi says it can't even be a malach. Malachim also are not allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and Yom Kippur. So it's not a person, it's not a malach. So what are we down to? So the Tosfos Yerushalmi says it's covered. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, hard to fully understand what exactly that means. It's a difficult explanation, but okay. This year, now this is the 40th year of Shimon HaTzadik's Kohen Gadol. So he says, this year I was accompanied, but he was wearing black. He came in with me to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but he did not come out with me. So that's it's a good siman. I mean, good, meaning it's a correct siman. It really indicates that this is my final year. Acha haregel chaloshiv ayamim umes. And the Gemara notes that after Yontif, so then 7 days 7 days came, and he got sick 7 days later, and he dies. V'nimnu echav hakohanim levarach b'shem. And out of respect, out of deference to the death of Rabbi Shimon HaTzadik, and realizing that there has now been a sizable downgrade of kedusha and tahara, so they stopped using a shem hamafarash, meaning that when they gave the birchas kohanim, whenever kohanim gave a brach, when they benched the people, so instead of saying yivrach Hashem using the shem hamafarash, so they used probably what we used, meaning the shem adnos, but not the shem hamafarash. Tanu Rabbanan, we are continuing in this discussion. The Gemara is going to stay on this theme for a little bit. Tanu Rabbanan, arbaim shana kodem churban abayis lohaya goral ola biyamin. The last 40 years, before the destruction of the second base of Mikdash. So the Goral never came out in the right. Meaning for the first 40, what do we say? It always came out in the right. The next 340 years, sometimes right, sometimes left. The last 40 years, because of the impending destruction of the second temple, it always came out in the left. Never came out in the right. And on top of that, for those last 40 years, so the red wool, which, again, during the first 40 years, always turned white. For the middle 340, sometimes turned white, sometimes didn't. The last 40 years never turned white. V'laya nema Ravi Dolek, and the western candle was never lit in the morning, which, as we pointed out during the 40 years of Shimon HaTzadik, was always lit in the morning. V'ya dasa zeichon niftachos me'alehem, ad shigar bahem Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. And the doors of the Heichal opened on their own. Now, exactly what's going on over here, I'm not sure if I can communicate or convey, but basically the destruction was so impending that the gates of the Azara of the temple opened up as if to say, like, in other words, enter, meaning not to us, but to the enemies, to the Romans. Ashigarba and Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai had to reprimand the doors. Amalo, Hechel Hechel, Mimei Mata, Mavir Atzmecha, Yodiani B'chasha Sovcha, Rav Yochanan says to the Beis HaMikdash, look, we know it's coming to the end. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, you remember the Gemara Gittin, was instrumental in transitioning us from the Beis HaMikdash period to the post-Beis HaMikdash period. Right? Remember the lengths that he went through in order to negotiate with the Romans, the Gemara Gittin. So the...
Was he a Kohen?
Was he a Kohen? No. I don't think he was.
No.
In other words, we're just right now talking about the door, the entrance to the Azara, just to the courtyard. You don't have to be a Kohen to see that. I don't think so. I tell you the truth. I'm not sure whether he is or is not, but I don't think so. So I know. Why are you scaring us? We know we're going to get destroyed. And already Zechariah forecasted. The pasuk in Zechariah says, open the doors and a fire will consume. So in other words, the opening of the door was significant. It signified the destruction, the impending destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And so Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai says, we know all this, but there's no need to scare us. Right? Even if it's true. I'm Rav Yitzchak ben Tavlai, Lama Nikra Shmo Levanon. Why is the Beis HaMikdash referred to as Levanon Shema ben Avon Hashem Shei Yisrael? Because it's able to cleanse, to whiten, to whitewash the sins of the Jewish people. That's the capability of the Beis HaMikdash. Amar Marzucha Bar Tuv Yolam Nikra Shmo Ya'ar. And also the area of the Beis HaMikdash is referred to as a Ya'ar, a forest. De'achsiv Beis Ya'ar Levanon. La'melcha ma Ya'ar Melav Lev. Afa Beis HaMikdash Melav Lev. Just like a forest blossoms and it produces fruit and vegetation and leaves, so too the Beis HaMikdash. Da'amar of Oshia B'shashe Bana Shlomo Beis HaMikdash Nata Bo Kol Minei Megadim Shel Zahav, the orchard that was planted by Shlomo HaMelech. Now this might sound strange to us, but the good news is that we heard this before, meaning it's not that long ago in Shkalim, where the Gemara related this to us. No, not Shkalim, I'm sorry, earlier in Yuma. So Shlomo HaMelech planted Kol Minei Megadim Shel Zahav, fruits that blossomed gold. And they would produce fruit. And when the wind would blow, so the fruit would fall off the tree. And it provided a revenue stream for the kahuna. But once the avdi kocham came into the hechel, yavshu, the trees that were planted by Shlomo HaMelech dried up. It dries up. The Asir Kosh Baruch Hu Lachzir Lano. Kosh Baruch Hu will return to us. Shenamar Paruch Tifrach V'Tagel Af Gilat V'Ranan Kavod Lavanon Nasala. And the pasuk forecasts that it's going to come back to us. Okay. Adkan. So just a little bit of a tangent in the Gemara that compares the first 40 years of the Bais Sheni and the last 40 years of the Bais Sheni, and the contrast is notable, it's stark, that the first 40 years, that was the years of Shimon HaTzadik, so everything worked in perfect order, Gorah came out in the Yamin, and all the other good simanim that occurred during the first 40 years, the last 40 years of the impending destruction, with the impending destruction of the Second Temple, so nothing went well. No, none of the simanim went well. Nastan al shnei hasi'irim. After choosing, after selecting the goral, then he takes the goral, the actual plaques, and he puts them on the goats. Ten rabban esar pa'amim maskir kohen galos hashem. Bo. Bayom. So there are going to be 10 times where the kohen gadol is going to say shem hashem. Bividui rishon. I'm sorry. Gimel bividui rishon. 3 times with his first vidui. Remember that par that he brings, the par lachatas? So he's going to say vidui over that animal, he's going to say vidui 2 times over the animal. And each time he says vidui, he's saying Shem Hashem 3 times. So gimel bevidui rishon, shlosha bevidui sheni. Now he's going to come back and he's going to do vidui again on the par. So there, once again, he's going to use Shem Hashem 3 times. Ushlosha besira mishtaleach. And when he does vidui over the goat, the sira mishtaleach, once again, he's going to do he's going to say a vidui, the ach, and that's going to have Shem Hashem mentioned another 3 times. It's a total of 9. The echa begorolos, and 1 time with the gorolos. Ukvar amar Hashem v'nishma kolob yiricho, and when he says Shem Hashem, or when he says Ana Hashem, it broadcasts all the way to Yiricho. Amar Rabba Barbachanim Yerushalayim liyiricho asura parsos. The distance from Yerushalayim to Yiricho is a total of 10 parsos. V'tzir delasos ahechal nishma bishmona tchume Shabbos, and the hinges of the door of the hechal can be heard 8 tchumim Shabbos away. Tchum Shabbos is 2,000 amos. 8 times that, 8 times 2,000, 16,000 amos. Izim shebi Yiricho ayu metachot. The goats in Yericho would sneeze merecha ketores from the smell of the ketores. Nashin shebi Yericho einam shrichol ispasei merecha ketores. The women in Yericho don't have to put on any type of perfume because of the reach ketores, because of the smell that's produced by the ketores in the Beis HaMikdash. Kala in Yerushalayim is rechel is kashe mireach ketores. A kala in Yerushalayim doesn't have to put on any type of makeup because of the, or any type of perfume because of the reach ketores. Amar Rebbe, a lot of gears to change this. Amar, let's just Rebbe Yossi ben Dugai, izim hayula abba behare mechmar. Okay. My father had goats. And they would sneeze on account of the Reach HaKetaros. On one occasion I went to Shiloh. And I was able to smell the Reach HaKetaros. Okay. So, fine. Okay, Adkan. Meaning that basically ties up yesterday's daf. So the Gemara spoke now about the first 40 years, the last 40 years, and the beauty and the splendor of the Beis HaMikdash, the Reach HaKetaros. Okay. And now we continue. All right, we are the Gemara from this point going forward. Really, this is we can mark this as like the beginning of today's daf. From this point forward, there's going to be basically one discussion. So let's just quickly introduce it, and then we'll work our way through the Gemara. Part of the Avodas Hayom is the selection, the designation of the Se'irim. Two Se'irim are coming, and they need to be assigned. And that assignment comes to us via lottery. Okay, that's our parak. That's what we've been talking about over the course of the parak. Question that we're going to be addressing now and freely for the rest of today's daf, and it's going to go into tomorrow's daf as well, is as follows. How essential is this part of the Avodas Yom Kippurim? Meaning, we're not talking about the sprinkling of the blood, we're not talking about the shechting of the animal. This is not a classic avoda. This is not one of the dalet avodos. This is just a question of assignment. Now, usually when we talk about the designation, the assignment of a karban, so it's a relatively simple process. You point to an animal, and you simply say, this animal's a chatas, that animal's an ola. So assignment of a karban usually comes in the form of just simply designating. Pointing, designating, articulating, fine. That is usually how Hekdesh is done. Meanwhile, over the course of today's daf, we're going to be discussing. The Torah gives us a mitzvah. I mean, let's remember, all this is in the Torah. The Torah provides for us a mitzvah that when the Kohen Gadol is making the selection of the two goats, that one of them is going to go La Hashem as a chatas, and the other one's going to go La Zazel, so it's done via lottery. But is the lottery an essential component to all this? It's a mitzvah. That goes without saying. But is it essential? That's the question the Gemara is going to ask. That's the question the Gemara is going to entertain. This is one of those hold cup Gemaras. This is one of those Gemaras coming up where there are going to be a lot of Shitas and we're going to be juggling. So you got to know the Shitas. So hopefully over the course of today we'll gain a familiarity of the basic Shitas so that we can keep everything straight. I'll try my best to keep everything as organized as possible. But, okay, that's our discussion for today. Amar Rabbi Yanai. So we start off with a Machlokas Amarai. Okay, we're going to go a little bit backwards over here. Because the truth of the matter is that we haven't seen it yet, but there's going to be a Machlokas Tanayim. And then layered on top of the Machlokas Tanayim, there's going to be a Machlokas Amarai. But our starting point for the discussion is going to be the Machlokas Amarai. Amar Rabbi Yanai, Aliyas Goro Mitoch Kapi Ma'akevis. Hanacham Einu Ma'akevis. So Rav Yanai says like this, look, there's a hagrola, there's a lottery. That's essential. You have two goats, one is going to be the seer, the La Hashem, the other one's going to be La Zazel, and we're going to have to make a determination. It has to be done through a lottery. The lottery is not just a mitzvah, it's essential. Okay. So in other words, so he's going to put his hands in, he's going to take out the two plaques, whichever comes out on his right will be to the right, and whatever comes out on the left will be to the left. That's essential, says Rabbi Yanai. You know what's not essential? Hanacha. Meaning, like the Mishnah says, what do you do after the two gorillas go up in his hands? So he lays one on top of the one and lays the other one on top of the other. That's hanacha. So that's a mitzvah, but it's not essential. Okay, that's Shitas Rabbi Yanai. Okay, I can tell you just to make a long daf short, that's the halacha. Meaning that's the Rambam's accepted viewpoint. Meaning. But you'll see though. In other words, Rav Yochanan argues with Rav Yanai, and usually we agree with Rav Yochanan over other Amarayim. But you see, in other words, it's complicated because all this is going to be in a larger context of a Machlokas Tanayim. So it's to say that we fall like Rav Yanai may not be perfectly accurate. To say this is a halacha, meaning this is the accepted viewpoint, that you could say. So anyway, so Amar Rabbi Yanai Elias Goro Mitoch Kapi Ma'akevis, Hanacha Eina Ma'akevis. Okay, that's the sheet of Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Af Aliyah Eina Ma'akevis. Now Rabbi Yochanan takes a sheet, which is interesting, and he says, look, certainly it's a mitzvah. Right? That Rav Yochanan is not disputing. There's nothing to dispute. It's not a mitzvah. Sorry. It is a mitzvah. But the hagrala is not essential. In other words, if you just simply say, I got two goats, okay, that one will be Lashem, and that one will be Lazazel, it'll work. The Avodah Yom HaKippurim will work. It's not an essential component to the Avodah. Now, that is a machlokas amarayim between Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Yochanan. Now, here we go. Is this machlokas amarayim is really to be understood in a larger context and in a larger debate amongst the Tanaim. The Tanaim that we're going to be discussing right now is the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda and the Shita of Rabbi Nechemiah. Before we go any further in the Gemara, let's take a look at Rashi. Where Rashi over here provides for us the background information that's necessary just to understand the upcoming lines of Gemara. Rashi writes, Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda v'chulei, beperikot siulo. So Rashi quotes the Gemara that's coming up later in the Masechta. Pligi Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Nechemiah, there's a debate between the Tanaim of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah. Im shina b'seder d'avoros l'hakim asamuchar, what if we go out of order? Meaning, part of the Seder Avodas Yom HaKippurim is that there's Seder. There's an order. The Torah prescribes, the Torah gives an exact procedure in terms of how it's done. We're going to go over later on, I mean, it's important to know it now, but just a couple minutes from now, we're going to go over the Seder. But there's a Seder. And what if I put things out of order? So instead of doing things sequentially, I do things out of sequence. So first let's introduce ourselves to the Shita of Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Nechemiah says, as long as the Kohen Gadol is wearing white and doing the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, irrespective of where the Avodah is done, whether it's done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, whether it's done in the Heichal, whether it's done in the Azara, everything has to be done kiseder. Everything needs to be done sequentially. That is the Shita of Reb Nechemiah. So Reb Nechemiah basically takes a unilateral position of everything while the Kohen Gadol is wearing white, has to be done in its prescribed order. Once you take something out of sequence, that's it. Now, when I say that's it, meaning what point you have to go back to, so stay tuned, that's a later discussion. But in other words, but that's it. Meaning you didn't do well. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, that's the Shita Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Yehuda modified. Not as unilateral as Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm still reading in Rashi. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, lo ksiva chukala b'dvar manasim b'bigdelavim b'bifnim. Rabbi Yehuda says that yes, there is a din of ikov. There's an essential component to the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, but that's only when the Kohen Gadol is wearing white, and that's only b'fnim. Hilka chagrala she'ena nasis mi'b'fnim ela be'b'chutz. Rav Yehuda damar advarim she'nasim mi'b'chutz oksiv echuka. And so therefore, according to Rav Yehuda, any activity, even if the Kohen Gadol is wearing his levanim, even if he's wearing his white linens, if it's done outside, it's not essential. No, that's exactly the point. The point is it's a mitzvah, but he doesn't have to do it. Meaning, the shechita is outside. Now, granted, right, correct. The shechita needs to be done. Look, we're talking really about the hagrala. We're talking about the lottery. So Rav Yehuda would say that, it's a mitzvah to do so, but it's not an essential part of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. Okay. The shechita is done outside, but correct. But without the shechita, I mean, we don't get anywhere without the shechita. Meaning, we don't have the blood. The blood can't be brought inside. Yeah, the shechita was done in Levanim. Correct, absolutely correct. Okay, you're right. There's nothing to talk about in terms of the shechita because, but we're also not just talking about the action. We're talking about the sequence of the action as well. I'm not arguing. Meaning, I agree with you. But in other words, without shechita, we don't have blood. So there's no, I mean, and without blood, we don't have an avodah. So there's nothing to talk about. But in terms of things like, let's stay on today's daf, to things like hagrala. So hagrala, Rav Yehuda will tell you, look, it's done outside. Yes, the Kohen Gadol is wearing his white when he's making the selection through lottery, but it's outside. It's not essential. Okay. So again, now we have a machlokas tanayim. A machlokas between Rabbi Nechemiah and Rabbi Yehuda. Again, Rabbi Nechemiah takes a very unilateral position. Anything, any activity that's done while the Kohen Gadol is wearing white, is essential, it's ma'akev. And the sequence is essential as well. That's Shitas Rabbi Nechemya. And Rabbi Yehuda is tempered. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, only the avodas that are done bifnim, their order, their seder is essential. Good. So that is a context in which now to understand. So let's now think about this. Meaning, we just saw Machlokas Amorayim between Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yochanan. And now what the Gemara is going to tell us is, we have to consider that Machlokas Amorayim within the context of the Machlokas Tanayim. So the Gemara does this. Now what's going to make the Gemara even more complex than as it is already is that the Gemara is going to give us two versions of how to understand the Machlokas Amorayim within the Machlokas Tanayim. Okay, so this is one of those, you know, just stay with me. Hang on. So, hopefully I can stay with me. So that would make it even better. So Kuli Amalo Plige, sorry, what just happened? Back to the Gemara. All right, right. I jump right to Rashi. Good. So Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, look, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Dama Dvar Manasim Mebig Yelavim Mebichutz Lama Akve Kuli Amalo Plige De Lama Akva. Meaning, Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yochanan are not even talking within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. There's nothing to talk about. Rabbi Yehuda says that the only things that are ma'akev are avodas that are done bifnim. Rabbi Yehuda would say that anything done outside is not essential. So, when Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yochanan are having their big debate in terms of is the lottery essential, they're not even talking within the framework of Rabbi Yehuda. It's not essential, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Ki pliga liba de Rabbi Nechemya. They're arguing within the sheet of Rabbi Nechemya. Now, now, the one who says it's ma'akev, that's easy. Because look, Rabbi Nechemya is unilateral. Rabbi Nechemya says that any avodah that's done while wearing the big day lavan, whether inside or outside, is simply going to be ma'akev. So the shita, which is the shita of Rabbi Yanai, is very well understood. How grel is necessary. Umanda amar lo ma'akva, and the one who says it's not ma'akev, meaning Rabbi Yochanan, his shita can fit into Rabbi Nechemya. The Gemara says, "Yeah, hani mili avoda, hagrala lav avoda hi." Yes, it can, because it's true that according to Rabbi Nechemya, all avodos while wearing the big day lavan are essential. But we're talking about the lottery. The lottery is not an avoda; it doesn't qualify as an avoda. Shechita is an avoda. Kabbalah Sadam is an avoda. Zrika Sadam is an avoda. But a girl is not an avoda. How are we going to decide which is the Seal Hashem and which is the Seal Azazel? Easy. Your point. You say. The Hagrel is a mitzvah, but it's not an avoda. And what the Gemara is now going to argue on behalf of Rav Yochanan is not going to be ma'akev within the Shita, even within the Shita of Reb Nechemya. Okay. So that is all version number one. So, according to version number one of the Gemara. So let's see, just to organize, so make a nice flow chart. So you have a machlok between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nechemya. Rav Nechemya says that all avodas that are done while wearing big day lavan, both inside and outside, are ma'akev. Rav Yehuda says that no, only the avodas that are done inside is ma'akev, avodas that are done outside are ma'akev. We then have a further sub-machlokus between Rav Yochanan and Rav Yanai, whether the lottery is essential or not essential. So in other words, first things first, take Rav Yehuda, put him off to the side. Meaning because he doesn't even, in other words, any avodah that's done outside is not ma'akev. So take him, put him to the side. They're not even discussing or debating within the sheet of Rav Yehuda. They will grant you, according to Rav Yehuda, it's not ma'akev, period. Put him to the side. Within the sheet of Rav Nechemya, now go down, they're arguing within the sheet of Rav Nechemya. Rav Yochanan would say it's not essential. Rabbi Yana says it is essential. How does that machlokas work within Rabbi Nechemya? Although Reb Nechemya is unilateral, and although Reb Nechemya says that every avoda that's done while wearing the big day lavan is essential, but it has to, according to Rav Yochanan, qualify as an avoda. This doesn't qualify as an avoda. It is hagrala, and so therefore it's not essential. And what Rabbi Yana would presumably argue, his point of disagreement would be, no, I think it's an avoda.
I mean, it may not be an avodah of a Beit HaMikdash, but it's avodah, you know, I hear that's specified in the Torah.
Okay, correct. Okay, that could very well be. Then, in other words, the debate comes basically down to whether or not the selection through a lottery is an avodah or not an avodah. Maybe. But anyway, that is all according to version number one. So far, so good. We go, version number two. So here in version number two, what we're going to do is basically take Rabbi Nechemya and put him to the side. Meaning, for Rabbi Nechemya, there's nothing to talk about. Rabbi Nechemya says that any time the Kohen Gadol is wearing his Bigdei Lavan, all avodas, every, let me not even say avoda, everything mentioned in the Torah while wearing the Bigdei Lavan is essential. So according to Rabbi Nechemya, the Hagrala, the lottery, is absolutely essential. So if I take Rabbi Nechemya, we'll just simply put him to the side. Nothing to talk about. Now within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to debate. Ki pliga liba de Rabbi Yehuda. The machlokus between Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yochanan exists within Rabbi Yehuda. Mandam alo makva ki Rabbi Yehuda. Now here, Rabbi Yochanan's sheet is easy. Because here we have an activity. Although the Kohen Gadol is wearing his big day lavan, but it's done outside. Rabbi Yehuda says that things that are outside are not essential. Again, mitzvos, but not essential.
But the thing is that we also said that big lavan are worn for avodah that are bifnim. I mean, that's the essence of the big lavan. Big day zav are worn.
Okay, but in other words, but even while big day lavan, there are activities like the hagrala that are done outside. So according to Rabbi, so Rabbi Yochanan's position is it's done outside. It's not ma'akev. Uman d'arma ma'akvei, and the one who says it's ma'akev, meaning the shita of Rav Yana that says that hagrala is essential, even according to Rav Yehuda, well, why should that be? It's an activity that's done outside. Shani hacha d'tana bekra. So the Gemara says it's different over here because when the Torah refers to the hagrala, how many times does the Torah mention the hagrala? Twice. We have a big rule when it comes to kachim, and that is that any time you have a repetition of a halacha in the Torah, vis-a-vis kachim, shina la'akev. The repetition is telling us that it's essential. Not just a mitzvah, it's essential. So in other words, in terms of avodas yom kippurim halachos, it's not essential because it's done outside. But in terms of your regular kachim halachos, the fact that the Torah repeats the asher Allah aleha, where the Torah mentions the hagrala twice, so that's why hagrala is essential according to Rabbi Yanai, even within the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. The Tana Bekra, Asher Allah, trace him name. Shina la'akev. Shina means to repeat. La'akev to tell me that's essential. Okay. So far, so good. That really lays it out. Meaning, so far, I mean, that's the introduction to today's daf. That's all it is. just a simple introduction. So, but it's really not that bad. Meaning, once you say it over and you say it over a couple of times, and it could just really map it out. We have a machlokus amarayim between Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yochanan, and according to the two versions, is this a machlokus within the shita of Rabbi Nechemya? That's version number one. Or is this a machlokus within the shita of Rabbi Yehuda? That's the second version of this debate. Okay, but really what it comes down to when all is said and done is, how essential is the lottery? That's really what it comes down to. Yes.
I'm sorry, why is it?
I'm so scared. You said I'm confused. Yeah.
Does anyone question whether avodah of the paraduma is essential or not essential?
Yeah, essential over here means as follows. Look, when the Kohen Gadol is going to perform the avodah in Yom Kippur, he's going to do it. That's not up for discussion. Meaning the Torah says to do it. It's a mitzvah. But the question over here is it an essential component? Meaning a failure to do so. Will that negate the kapara? Meaning has kapara not been achieved because he didn't do the lottery? Meaning, if he doesn't sprinkle the blood onto the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we can all agree, right, failure to do the Avodas Yom HaKippur. Fine. There's nothing to talk about. That's obviously an essential component. And as we'll be discussing today and over the course of these next number of days, the sequence is also going to be essential as well. But what we're discussing now is this Hagrala, this lottery, which essentially just simply says, that goat is Lashem and that goat is Lazazel. Is that essential to the entire Avodas Yom HaKippur? We know the Kohen Gadol is going to do it. It's a mitzvah. But if failure to do so, will that just simply upend, will that uproot the entire Avodas Yom HaKippur? That's our discussion for today. That's a good question. Meaning, according to our second version, and Rav Yochanan says that it's not ma'akev, even according to Rav Yehuda, so what does he do with the repetition? Oh, that's good. Yeah, so that's last tosis. Amanda Amalav, right? Afa gavda tanabekra lo ma'akva midi have a ablila. He gives a precedent. He gives a precedent where this occurs, but in other words, let me spend a little more time with it. It's a good question. It's obviously a good question. Tosfos asks it. Meisvei. Okay, where are the last two lines of Lamed Tes Amud Beis? Mitzvah lahagril v'im lo higril kasher. So we have a brisa. And the brisa is so clear. The brisa says it's a mitzvah lahagril, meaning to do the lottery. Torah says so. So we'll call it a mitzvah. But if you don't do so, it's kasher. The avoda still works. Now again, what does that mean? It means we'll just simply make a determination. That goat's going to be a chatas, that goat will be a lazazel. Lottery, yeah, I know, we should have done the lottery. I forgot the plaques at home. Sorry. Okay, yeah, but so fine. If you don't do it, it's not ma'akev. So they go, to which now? Bishlam alach lisha damar aliba de Rabbi Yehuda kule amalo pligi, de lo ma'akve hamani Rabbi Yehuda hi. So look, the Gemara says, again, this is where now you have to have all the information readily available in your hands. Meaning, because again, we have two Lashonos, we have a Machlok Chin, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya, and then we have a question of, are Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yochanan arguing within Rabbi Nechemya? That's version number one. Are Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yehuda, are Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yochanan arguing within Shita Rabbi Yehuda? That's version number two. So the Gemara says, look, what are we going to do with this Braisa? So according to the first Lashon, that the whole debate was in Shitas Reb Nechemya, Ali B'd Rav Yehuda Kol Ha'am Lo Pligi De Lo Ma'akva, and according to Rav Yehuda, everyone's in agreement that's not Ma'akiv. How many Rav Yehudi? So that's great. I could just simply say, you see that Braisa? It belongs to Shitas Reb Yehuda. Look, the Braisa doesn't tell us who's attribution, who's the author of the Braisa. So we'll say very simply, the author of that Braisa is Rav Yehuda. That's fine. But Ella, top of Daf Mem Amud Aleph. Lahach Lashon Damar Pligi. But according to the second Lashon of the Gemara, where Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yochanan are arguing within Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. So now what? So now it means that according to one Amora, the Hagrala is essential. Meaning for sure according to Rabbi Nechemya, but even according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Hagrala is essential. So Bishlam Laman Damar Lomakva Hamani Rabbi Yehudi. So according to the one who says that it's not essential, i.e. Rabbi Yochanan, so it's fine. Who's the author of the Braisa? Rabbi Yehuda. That's fine. But El Laman Damar Makva, but according to Rabbi Yana who says that's Ma'akev, so now Hamani? So who's the author of the Braisa? So in other words, because it's certainly not Rabbi Nechemya, because Rabbi Nechemya says the Hagrala is essential, and it can't even be Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Yanai, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Hagrala is essential. So who's the author of the Braisa? So Tani, so the Gemara says, that's a good question, so we're going to have to either edit or reinterpret the Braisa. Tani, mitzvah lahaniach. The Braisa does not mean mitzvah hagrel. And if you don't do so, it's not ma'akev. But rather, what the Braisa means is, the hagrel is essential. Bein l'Rabbi Nechemya, bein l'Rabbi Yehuda, the hagrel is essential. But then after having the plaques come up in your hand, the lottery tickets come up in your hand, you don't have to place them down on the goat. It's a mitzvah to do so, but that's not essential.
That's not ma'akev.
Tashma. Fine. So we're able to sidestep. We have a Braisa. We were able to explain the Braisa according to both Lashonos of the Gemara. Tashma mitzvah lahagrel is vados. We have another Braisa. The Braisa says it's a mitzvah to do hagrela, to take the lottery, and to do vidui. Lo higrel v'lo isvada, kosher. Now, if you don't do the lottery, and if you don't confess, it would be kosher. Now, this one should strike us as strange, meaning the hagrela, so fine, it isn't an avoda, that's today's topic. The vidui is not essential. I mean, it's Yom Kippur. I mean, the definition of Yom Kippur, I don't know the definition, but one of the main definitions, Yom Kippur is vidui, it's confession. So this idea that there's a mandarma, there is a shita out there that says, you know, if you do the entire avodah, but without the confession, it's okay. Meaning, it's not an essential component of the avodah Yom Kippur. All right, anyway, there's a shita out there like that. V'chitema, fine. That is a braisa. What makes this braisa any more challenging than the previous braisa? Because look, what do we say about the previous braisa? Even though the braisa said lahagril, it really what it means is lahaniach. But emaseifa, The Gemara says, the problem is, read on in the Braisa. Rabbi Shimon Amar lo igril kasher, lo is vada pasol. Rabbi Shimon says, well, if you didn't do a hagrala, well, that's okay. That's not essential. But vidui, oh, that's essential. If failure to do vidui really uproots, upends the entire Avodas Yom HaKippurim. So my lo igril. So now, in this context, how are we going to define? Ilem lo iniach. Well, if he's saying, if by what we mean when we say lo higrol is lo iniach, mechlal de Rabbi Shimon savra hagrol ha-makva. Well, then that means that when Rabbi Shimon is making his argumentative stand, and Rabbi Shimon says, well, the hagrola, which let's define now, is the hanacha. The hanacha is not essential. The vidui is essential. So what does that say about Rabbi Shimon? That for him, the placement of the plaque on the animals is not essential. But the hagrala itself is essential. That's what would come out according to Rabbi Shimon. Now, in of itself, that's fine, but we know otherwise. Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon does not require hagrala, meaning does not require, does not deem it to be essential. We will be discussing later in the Masechta what happens if one of the goats die. So how do we have to bring a second goat, a replacement goat. How do we select that goat? Is a new goral the necessary component to selecting that replacement goat, yes or no? Rabbi Shimon says it's not necessary. Not necessary. So you see that according to Rabbi Shimon, we can bypass the hagrala, the lottery. So we know that according to Rabbi Shimon, hagrala is not necessary. So the problem now is as follows. We have a second braisa. The problem with the second braisa is that it introduces us to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. We know that according to Rabbi Shimon, the hanacha nor the hagrala is essential. So, the Gemara says, so now that means that according to the Tanakhama, the hagrala is not essential. So once again, we find ourselves in a position where we have a braisa that says the hagrala is not essential. And that's a problem because according to the second version, at least within the Shita of Rabbi Yanai, hopefully you have all that clear, but according to the second version, at least according to the opinion of Rabbi Yanai, there is no Tana, there's no such Tana. Because it's not Rabbi Nechemia and it's not Rabbi Yehuda. They both say that Hagrola is essential. So the Gemara says, well, maybe what we could say suggest is the following. Rabbi Shimon lo yada mai kama rabbanan. Well, maybe Rabbi Shimon wasn't fully understanding the position of the Tanakhama. V'hachi kamar lehu. And maybe what Rabbi Shimon is saying to the Tanakhama is as follows. I hagrala, hagrala mamish. Look, I know you're saying the word hagrala, but I'm not really sure what you mean. If you mean hagrala by its literal sense that we're talking about the lottery, so kamriso pagin alaych b'chada. I argue, meaning I disagree. I don't think it's essential. And I hagrala de kamriso hani hanacha. Now, if what you're telling me is hagrala, and what you mean by that is hanacha, pagin alaych b'tarti. Well, then I totally argue with you. Because I don't think the hanacha is essential, and I don't think the hagrala is essential. So it could be, you know, this is definitely a bit of a docha, it's a forced answer, but it could be that when the Tanakhama said hagrala, maybe he meant hanacha. And even though Rabbi Shimon was responding, but Rabbi Shimon was basically covering his bases. If by what you mean is hagrala, I argue. If what you mean by hagrala is hanacha, I really argue. I don't think the hanacha is essential. I don't think the hagrala is essential. Fine. Tashma. Gemara says, come in here. Once again, where are we right now in the Gemara? Meaning, let's not lose sight of the big question of the day. Is the hagrala essential, yes or no? That's our big question of the day. It's a machlokas amarayim, and possibly machlokas tanaim as well. Okay, two versions of whether or not the Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yochanan are either arguing within the Shita of Rabbi Nechemia, or they're arguing within the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. That's our big question of the day. We've just cited now two brisos, and the Gemara has now, I should say rather, three brisos, right? One on the bottom of Lamentes Amid Aleph, two more that we just covered on the top over here, and the Gemara sidestepped both of them. We're going to quote now another braisa, but before we quote this other braisa, once again, we go right to Rashi. Right? Rashi over here provides for us a basis of introduction to understand. Okay, let's talk about the sprinkling of the blood that's going to be done by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. And basically, let's, just for the purposes of organization and just so that we can communicate with one another, let's basically call it 1, 2, 3. Okay? Let's see. It's an easy way to just organize all this. There are two animals that are going to be shechted, whose blood is going to be brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There's the par, and there's the seir. Okay? The par, which we already described at the end of the third perek, that's the bowl where the Kohen Gadol is going to do his confession. He's going to confess the sins over him and his family, and eventually the Kohanim. Then there's the seir which after determine which seir is going to serve as a chatas, it's the Kohen's going to do a confession on the seir for the chait of all of Klal Yisrael, and that is going to be offered the shechted, and the blood is going to be brought in. Okay, now let's quickly go through the numbers. One, the first sprinkling is going to be done. Now par always comes in front of seir. Okay, one. The blood of the par is going to be sprinkled in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the direction of the Aron. Right, that's referred to as the Kaparis, which is the cover to the Aron. That's one time for the par, and a separate time for the blood of the seer, the blood of the goat. Two, then there's going to be sprinkling in the Heichal, in the direction of the Paroches, once for the par, and once for the seer. And by the way, this is a broad outline, because the sprinkling itself has details within it. Right now, just a broad outline. And finally, three, the blood of the bull and the goat are mixed together, and they are sprinkled onto the Mizbeach HaPnimi, on the inner Mizbeach. So those are the three essential avodas that are done. Okay? Let's take a look at Rashi together. Par ma'akev is asirim hiktim achas min ha'avodas shal si'ir ha'mecharis lo shal par v'asim kodin la par ha'par shu rightly kadeim la ma'akva u'posla v'eno ola lo v'tzarech l'achzor v'la'asoso la'asoso l'achar ha'par. I apologize. I'm reading the Rashi of par ma'akev is asirim. I really wanted this next part of Rashi, because this part of Rashi, you can underline, you can highlight this Rashi. This Rashi gives us a broad outline of what's about to happen. Seder avoda seim kachi. This is the order of the avoda. Beparsha b'tchil mitzvah ala par vidui rishon. The confession that's done over the bull, that's the first confession. Ve'achar kach magril ala seir. Then a lottery, which is what we are discussing right now. Ve'achar kach mitzvah ala par vidui sheni. Then you go back to the bull to do a second confession on the bull. Ve'shachto umachnis kaf umachte. Ve'nosein ha'sekitar sala eish. Then you shecht. After shechting, you bring in the spoonful of ketores and the shovel that has the coals on it, you produce the cloud of smoke in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then, you bring in the bull, and the blood of the bull is going to be sprinkled in the direction, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You sprinkle the blood of the bull into the direction of the Aron, while in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then afterwards you shecht the goat. Then you bring the blood of the goat into the Kaparis, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, sprinkle in the direction of the Kaparis. That is what we'll call number one. Then, achar kach nosim midam ha'par la'parach, v'achar kach midam ha'seir. Then two, you then take the blood of the bull, sprinkle, go into the heichal, and sprinkle it in the direction of the curtain, and then you do the same thing with the blood of the seir. And afterwards you mix the bloods together in order to sprinkle it onto the inner Mizbeach. Okay, one, two, and three. Okay. Go over that, Rashi. I'd say a couple more times today. Right. In other words, I'm speaking to me. Meaning, like, in other words, the order for us, just to get through these Dapim of Gemara and to know what is happening, that order really is a key component to this entire discussion. Okay? Now let's go back to the Gemara. Now let's read the Gemara as it's going to present an argument. And again, the whole purpose of this argument over here, the Gemara over here, is to indicate and try to prove whether or not the Hagrala is or is not essential. So Tashma, the Gemara says, Parma Akevis HaSeir. If the par is going to hold back the seer, now I'm going to go back to the beginning of the Rashi. And now we're going to say, what exactly does that mean? In Hikdim Achas Min Avodah Shal Seir, Ham Ucharis L'Shal Par. Let's say I have an avoda that should be done with the seer after the par. Generally speaking, seer comes after the par. And what do? I switch and I move the seer in front of the par. Vasim kodol par ha parshu rightly kadim la me'akva uposla ve'ena ola la. That's no good. V'tzarech la'achzer v'la'asos la'achar par. The seer avoda that you did before the par, just simply negated, and I got to do it again after the par.
So it doesn't count.
So the par is the ear order is an essential order. It has to first be par, then the ear. And if I move the seer in front of the par, just negated. However, the converse is not true. And I admit that this is going to be confusing. Par ma'akev is a seer, the seer in ma'akev is a par. But the seer won't hold back the par. Meaning, if I take a par activity that needs to be done after the seer, and I move it before the seer, oh, that's okay.
What's the par activity after the seer?
Wait. I know I just dropped a a difficult statement, but let the Gemara develop its point, and hopefully it'll become clear. No, this, I'm sorry, this is a braisa. I apologize. This is a braisa. So So the Gemara says, in terms of the first statement of the braisa, I get it. In other words, the Torah, the order is usually first bull, then goat. And what I did is I moved the goat in front of the par. It's ignored. It didn't happen. Meaning it happened, but halachically it didn't happen. And so therefore I got to do the seer again after the par. I understand the first statement. But what's the second statement mean? Elasir and Makav is a par, my new. What, well, give me an example. What are we talking about when we say that I take a par activity that normally comes after the seer and I move it to before the seer? What are we even talking about? So the Gemara says, well, maybe what it means is as follows. Maybe I took the par that should be done in the Hechal and I moved it in front of the seer blood that sprinkled on the inside, right? Meaning, basically, I switched, what?
2A
and 1B. Right, that, right? In other words, right? Not the shechita. We're not talking about the shechita. We're talking about the sprinkling of the blood. Remember how I numbered it? I numbered it 1, 2, and 3. 1, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, first bull, then goat. 2, in the Heichal, in the direction of the curtain. That's 2. A and B, first bull, then goat. 3, we mix them together, and we sprinkle onto the Mizbeach HaPanimi. And what the Gemara is now suggesting is maybe what the Braisa means is the following. I took, now again, what would be a scenario where the goat should come before the bull? Well, maybe the blood of the goat that goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which should go before the bull blood that's sprinkled onto the Paroches, maybe I did the bull before the goat. Meaning, I did 2A before 1B. Okay? That's what the Gemara is suggesting. Maybe that's what's happening.
That means that you did the shechita of the bull and break it and didn't sprinkle
another. Or no, could be you shechita the goat, just whatever. You didn't sprinkle. We're speaking now about sprinkling. So the Gemara says that can't be what the Bryce is talking about. The Gemara says, no, that's chok. Meaning the word chok, that's the key word. It's essential. The order is essential. It has to be 1AB, then 2AB, then 3AB. There's nothing to equivocate about the order of the sprinkling of the blood. It has to go precisely in that order. So there's no way that what the Braisa could possibly mean is that I flip the order of the sprinkling of the bloods and I put what normally should be goat in front of bull, I did bull in front of goat. What normally should be goat in front of bull, I switched it around. The Gemara says that doesn't exist. It does exist. It doesn't work. There's no way that could work. So So the Gemara says, so you know what it must be? It must be that the Bryce is dealing with the following scenario. That I sprinkled the blood of the bull prior to doing the lottery. Meaning, remember, what normally happens, the lottery of the goats takes place before any sprinkling. Maybe what the braisa means is, I sprinkle the blood of the bull prior to doing the lottery. And then now the Gemara is going to take a leap. And the leap goes like this. The logical leap, well, it's you can argue with the logic. But the logical leap is, umidisidra lo ma'akve, ikra hagrala nami lo ma'akva. Well, if the order is not essential, well, maybe the hagrala altogether is not essential. Okay? And perhaps the basis of this logical leap is that once we've shown that unlike the sprinkling, it has to be 1A, 1B, 2A, 2B, 3A, and B. And there's nothing to talk about. That cannot be switched around. Whereas you see the hagrala, we're loose with the hagrala. The Braisa says that if I sprinkle the blood of the bull and then do the lottery, that's okay. What does that tell you about the lottery? We're not talking about an essential avoda. Well, if we're not talking about essential avoda, maybe we're not talking about doing away with it. We're just talking about how essential it is. Maybe it's not essential. That's what the Gemara is suggesting. So the Gemara says, "Lo da'akti matanos tapar b'mizbech mekamei matanos tisir behechal." Rav Yehuda he damer dvar manasim bebigdei lovan bechutz lo ma'akvei. So the Gemara says, "Well, maybe we're talking about two and three, meaning sprinkling not done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but sprinkling done in the heichal." And we could say it's going like Rav Yehuda, because as we said in the beginning of today's daf, according to Rav Yehuda, things that are done outside are not essential. Maybe that's what the Braisa is talking about. The Gemara says, yeah, but that pshat can't be. V'ha matana shebifnim katani. No, because look at the wording of the Braisa. It says, matana shebifnim. So, Allah mani Rabbi Shimon, hidamar agrala lama akva. So the Gemara is going to give one of two answers, and with this we'll finish with today. Either one, says the Gemara. Maybe the author of this Braisa is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, agrala is not navoda. Meaning, in the shitas of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemia, no, maybe they both would agree that the lottery is essential. But as we saw earlier today, Rabbi Shimon, he's like the wild card in this whole discussion. Rabbi Shimon says that the lottery is not essential, so maybe the author of this braisa is Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara says, or we could give another answer, which is, maybe the author of the braisa is Rabbi Yehuda, but nehi de besidro la ma'akva, hagra la miya ma'akva. The Gemara says, but here's what we could suggest. You made a leap, and maybe your leap is not right. In other words, you're right. The order is not ma'akev, meaning if I sprinkle the blood of the bull prior to doing the hagrala, okay, in other words, I can get away with that. But to undo the hagrala altogether, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that you can't do. By order, maybe there's a little flexibility. But to say that the hagrala altogether is not essential, that far we won't go. Okay, Adkan, we'll stop over here. So once again, I know, tricky daf today. So once again, the question of the day, the Gemara really is only dealing with one question. How essential is Agrala to the Avodas Yom Kippurim? So again, we start some Machlok, Samarim, between Rav Yana and Rav Yochanan. We then, in Tula Shana, said it's either a Machlok is within the Shita Rav Yehuda, or it's a Machlok is within the Shita Rav Nechemia. And then for the rest of today, we quoted Braisa after Braisa to test the water and see how essential the Hagrala is, and we'll continue tomorrow.